Hi, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. We can go ahead and find our seats. We'll go ahead and get started. And for this afternoon's first song, we'll go ahead and start in song number 178. Song number 178, Jesus Loves Even Me. Song number 178. Does everybody sing it out first? I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in His book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee. When I remember that Jesus loves me, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one thing I could sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
All right, great job, everybody. Let's all pray together. Lord, thank you so much once again for just giving us this place to worship you, Lord, and allowing us to lift up our voices to you. We love you, and we just ask you to fill us with your spirit and bless this service, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, for our next song, let's go to song number 208. Song number 208. Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Song number 208. Song number 208, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Everybody sing it out together on the first, real loud.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the in the soul with infinite loss, grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross.
Grace, grace, God's grace,
grace that will pardon. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today.
grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace.
Great job, everybody singing out on the fourth.
Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Great job.
Thank you for coming to Steadfast Baptist. If you need a bulletin, lift up your hand nice and high. On the front, we have our memory passage. We're working on verse 17 of Revelation chapter 1. On the inside, we have our service soul winning time and our church stats. And then on the right, we have our expecting ladies. Continue to pray for all of them. We have several to pray for. Also, our prayer list. Unfortunate news on our prayer list. If you'd update, the Matt Pendleton did pass away this week, and so please be prayer for his family. If you would add the aldermen's for health, if you'd add that to your list. Also, upcoming events, we have the Shreveport, Louisiana Soul Winning Marathon. There is a sign-up sheet. Please do sign up so that way we can anticipate everybody that is planning on going. Who's planning on going to this thing? Okay, yeah, lots of people are going. That's great. It's a lot of fun to go over there. We've gone there a couple times already, and it's pretty receptive soul winning. Also, there's the wedding for Brother Suhail and Miss Lori May. Please RSVP to him. On the back is just some of our church reminders. Please do pay attention to that as well. And that's pretty much all I have as far as announcements. Let's just go ahead and sing our third song, Psalm 15. Psalm 15, it's there in our special handouts, or if you need to use your Bible, Psalm 15.
All right, that was Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15. Everybody sing it out on the first.
Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. That backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his name. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. In whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward again. doeth these things shall never be moved. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Shall dwell in thy holy hill?
All right, great job, everybody. Now, as the offering plates are being passed around, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 26. That's Proverbs chapter number 26.
Proverbs chapter 26, the Bible reads, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of the fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than him. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the book of Proverbs and all the godly and spiritual wisdom that we gain from this great book. And Lord, we just pray that you would fill Pastor Shelley with your Holy Spirit. I pray that he would preach with boldness and authority. And I pray that you would stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, not only for the milk of the word tonight, but also for the strong meat. Help us to understand it and digest it. Help us to become better Christians. And we just thank you so much for all the souls that were won to Christ. And we just pray right now, Lord, that you'll prepare hearts in Shreveport, that you'll prepare people for us to preach to, that we will preach with boldness and authority, that you'll keep us safe, and that we will grab a big harvest of souls for you in the kingdom of heaven, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Proverbs 26, the part of the chapter I want to look back at is where it says in verse 24, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. And the title of my sermon this evening
comes from this word here, dissembleth. And so the title of my sermon is Dissemblers Are Sus, all right? Or you could say suspect. That's what the cool people say, right? Dissemblers are sus. And you say, what does sus mean? Sus just means that they shouldn't be trusted. They're suspect. There's something wrong with these people. You should be aware of these people as being dangerous or that they want to hurt you or harm you. Now, what is a dissembler? It's kind of a word that we don't really use in our modern vernacular very often. Well, in this particular verse, it kind of already gives us a really clear idea of who this person is. Look what it says in the latter portion of this verse, and says, and layeth up deceit within him. So really, if you just look up a dissembler or one who dissembles in a dictionary, it'll just say someone who's disguising or concealing their feelings. So it's someone that's not being honest about who they are or why they're being the way they are or the feelings they have towards you. So it's saying that if someone hates you, this person in 24, someone that hates you could dissemble with his lips, meaning he's not going to tell you that he hates you. He's not going to be honest about the fact that he doesn't like you. He's going to lie about it, and he's going to use deceit. Look at verse 25. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. So what the Bible's trying to say is there are people out there that hate you and want destruction for you, despise you, but they're not going to be honest, so they'll speak fair to you. Speaking fair means that they're speaking kind, pleasant, positive things. And yet the Bible is saying, don't believe this person. When you've already identified them as a dissembler, you do not want to believe their speech. Why? For there are seven abominations in his heart. Verse 26, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. So the Bible is being really clear about this. And I think it kind of gives us three different things to think about when it comes to dissemblers. Dissemblers is just my overarching category. But within this dissemblers category, the first thing that we need to identify that's also suspect is fair speech. Fair speech is sus in the Bible. And, you know, a lot of people want preachers and pastors to always have all this fair speech, beautiful speech. But honestly, when you start reading it in the Bible, almost every time someone's a fair speaker, they're actually a bad person. There's something wrong with this person. Beware of the person that only speaks sweetly to you. Beware of the person that only speaks nice to you, especially when you know they have no reason to speak nicely to you. Now, go if you would to Proverbs chapter number 5. Go to Proverbs chapter number 5. We're going to look at a lot of Proverbs today, but these are just some good general tips and wisdom that we can get from the Bible. Of course, there could be a reason why someone speaks nicely to you. And maybe it's really evident, it's really obvious. Hopefully, God willing, your spouse would speak really nicely to you, right? Or perhaps your parents, your children. You know, that makes sense. You know, it makes sense for my wife, whom I've been married to for over a decade, that we're going to speak sweetly to each other. That, you know, that we've had a good day and things are going well. But even my own wife, you know, if I forget her anniversary and I haven't bought her any presents and I left the trash in the house, I didn't take it out, and I left all my clothes out and I didn't, you know, help her clean up the house, and I'm coming home late and I walk in the door and she speaks really fair to me. That's sus, okay? That's sus. You know, when you're in a relationship and you realize, like, there's no reason for my spouse to be speaking sweetly to me right now, be aware of that speech, okay? And women are notorious for this. When they start speaking really sweet all of a sudden and you know it shouldn't be like that, there's a problem, okay? When it's just like, it's fine. Everything's great. It's fine. It's like, no, it's not. It's not fine. It's not great. And, of course, the same would be applied in any kind of context. If there's a woman out there for you young men or even married men that you don't know, you've never met this woman, you've never seen this woman, she doesn't know you, and yet she approaches you or you have a conversation with her and she's telling you every sweet thing you could ever imagine, she's suspect. She's suspect. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Notice that this woman that's not married to you, that you're not familiar with, you don't know who she is, for some reason she loves to just run her mouth in a real smooth manner. You know, she'll talk to men and she'll tell them how studly they are and how wonderful they are. And, oh, you're just so amazing. And you're just the greatest guy I've ever seen. This is what the Bible is painting a picture of. And it's true that there are women out there, and a lot of women that are like this, who will just speak sweetly to some man that they've never met in their entire life. In fact, in some cases, they don't even like them. They're not even that interested in them. They just want to use them. And so they're going to speak really smooth to them. It says in verse 4, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. So according to the Bible, this strange woman is speaking really smoothly and really sweetly to men, but that's not her goal. Her goal is to destroy them. Her goal is to take them down into hell with her. And this is why it's really dangerous to have an ear that likes all these smooth things and is just ready, just, oh, that's so fair, and of course she likes me. Of course, this works the best on those who are prideful, on men who are prideful. Men that are super ugly, this doesn't work on as well because they're kind of like, I don't know if that's true. You know, guys that, you know, are a little bit more humble about who they are, it's like, there's no way this lady's interested in me, okay? And you can really see this when you're out in the world today because a lot of companies will use women as their saleswomen. They use a woman to try and sell you a car, or sell you a house, or sell you a timeshare, or sell you anything, because for some reason men just, they have a weakness here where they just want to believe this woman is just interested in them for some reason. It's like, oh man, if you had that timeshare, oh, it would be great and you'd be so wonderful. And it's just like, she's lying to you. She wants to suck you dry and suck your funds dry, and she doesn't like you at all. She's just lying to you and speaking sweetly into your ear because she just wants to sell you something. And in fact, women often are great at selling people stuff, selling men things, because men have a weakness here and they like to just hear all this fair speech when it's not true at all. Look at most advertisements. And again, not today. Sorry. Go back 5 years from now and then watch any advertisements before then. Because now they have dudes in dresses trying to attract you and it doesn't work. But they used to use an attractive woman to sell anything, right? Beer, cars, whatever it is, they just put an attractive woman on the screen and make you get the illusion that, oh, she would be interested in me if I had this. But it's all a lie. It's not real. It's suspect. Fair speech is suspect. All advertisements are like this, aren't they? I mean, you flip on the TV and it's basically just everything great's going to happen to you when you have our product, when you have our car, when you have this drink, whenever you do this exercise. You know, whatever it is, everybody's going to love you. Everybody's going to think you're great. And all it is just a lie to get you to buy their product, isn't it? Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So the Bible is trying to help you stay away from this trap of the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Now, what's flattery? Flattery is an insincere compliment. It's when someone tells you something about yourself that's positive, but it's not true. It's not true. Of course, this works the best on those who are arrogant and those who are very prideful, because they often try to take every kind of compliment and act as if it's true about themselves. I remember one time I was at Faithful Word when I was just serving there and just going to the church there. There was a guy named Tyler Baker who was the deacon. And Tyler Baker had gone around and was telling people, yeah, there's some people that think I preach better than Pastor Anderson. And I'm thinking, like, dude, they were lying to you. They were flattering you. But of course, only a prideful person would actually think that was true. It's like no one actually believes that. And you're like, how do you know that, Pastor Shelley? Well, have you ever heard of his church? No, because no one goes there, because no one likes listening to his preaching, because no one thinks it's better than Pastor Anderson's. Not even his own mother, okay? Folks, no one thinks that it's better. It was a lie. But you know what? A prideful person loves flattery because they actually want to believe or think that it's true. And, you know, we need to be humble, because when you're humble, you're less susceptible to flattery. When you're prideful, it's very easy for someone to come up to you and tell you things. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm so great. Yeah, I'm so wonderful. Of course they said that. Finally, they recognize. And it's like, dude, they were just lying to you. They were trying to trick you. They were trying to deceive you. That's not real. When people give you over-the-top compliments or things that you're pretty sure that's not true, you should be suspect of that speech. You should be suspect of that person. There's pretty much only been one person like that, I feel like, that's in this specific church that I kind of had to deal with, where it seemed like every single sermon, they would come up to me, that was the greatest sermon I've ever heard. It was like every time. And I'm just thinking, like, you must be bad. But I didn't know. I mean, there was nothing else to point in this person's life. It was just kind of like, that's not true. Like, this is ridiculous, okay? And then later, yep, they had to get thrown out for another reason, but they were just, they're a super wicked person. And it's just like, you need to be careful around people that are giving you all these over-the-top, insincere compliments, things that you know that aren't true, because the Bible's true, and the Bible's saying, this person's wicked. This person's a bad person that's constantly flattering you or giving you these over-the-top compliments. Look at chapter 7 and look at verse 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths of a young man void of understanding. Now, the Bible gives us, again, just so much verses on this young man getting trapped by this young woman. And because it's really probably one of the most common traps that you see out there. Men are just so much more susceptible to a woman that would flatter him or to try to say things that she does not mean. And we see the person giving the proverb, Solomon, it's like he's looking out and he's seeing this guy. And notice how he describes him. He's void of understanding, meaning he doesn't understand anything. He's lacking understanding. And really, you could almost just summarize this as just the unsaved population. The unsaved population of young men in America today are just void of understanding, and they don't realize that there's so many women out there that want to trap them and want to take advantage of them and cause them to just end up going to hell with her. Now, this young man ends up getting caught by this woman. It says in verse 9, it says, in the twilight and the evening and the black and dark night, and behold, there met a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. What does the subtle of heart mean? She's not concealing her feelings. She's a dissembler. She's not being honest with how she actually feels. Verse 11, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. You know what this woman is? It's the woman that you would find at the bar. Every woman that you'd find at the bar, she's not at home, she's loud, and she's a stubborn woman. Women at the bar are stubborn, okay? I've heard about it, okay? And according to the Bible, she's everywhere. She's the most common thing out there. And young men don't realize this, that there is a whore on every corner. In America, there are literal whores and whorish women everywhere today, and they're out everywhere, and they're super loud, and they're not going to give you their intentions. They're going to be subtle of heart. Verse 13, so she caught him. Notice the language of the Bible. It's like a spider's web with a little bug just going and just getting caught in the web. It's like she caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said to him. She hasn't even met this guy in her entire life. And before anything, she just grabs the guy and kisses him. And look, there are women out there that will just grab men that they don't know and kiss them before they've even spoken a word to them. That is out there. And this is what happens. Young men don't realize this, And they feel really special that that happened. They think like, oh, wow, I didn't know I was this studly. You know, I didn't know I was this awesome. I didn't know that women would like me so much like this. But they don't realize it's fake. They don't realize that it's not real. And I'll tell you what, I'm not trying to be mean, but you young single guys, if some girl's being that handsy and forward with you, it's fake, okay, guys? Right. None of y'all are that good looking. And none of y'all have that kind of money, okay? Like, it's not sincere. And you should be afraid of that woman, okay? There's, you know, it's dangerous. Plus, even if you were that good looking, it's even more the reason to actually be afraid of that, because you know she's coming after that man for the wrong reasons, and she's going after him for the wrong purposes. It says, she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Isn't it funny that she's waiting, and then she's like, I found you. She didn't find you. You stumbled into her web. You got caught in her web. Verse 16, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Now, I have to pause for just a moment here. The goodman is an interesting thought here. And some people would suggest, is this woman committing adultery? Or is this like a young single lady and that's talking about her dad? I think you could look at it as both. I personally lean towards the fact that it's more towards just the young woman and her dad's just not there. Now, of course, especially back then, you know, you don't have all these young single girls living on their own. Everybody's living with a dude. Everybody's living with a dad or their husband or something. They're not just, they don't have the sorority house down the street. They don't have just all these little apartments and stuff where all these women are just working their way and living on their own. So pretty much every young woman has someone over them. Some guy was in charge of them. And of course, dad is not going to let his daughter commit whoredom in his own house, right? That's just bizarre. So really, it's kind of saying, when was whoredom going to be afforded for these people? It's typically when dad was away, right? It's when the good men of the house was gone. And this is why me and my wife don't want to leave our children alone, because guess what? When the good men's home, there ain't no chance, buddy. Now, whenever Goodman's gone and mom's gone and everybody's gone, well, then I guess the door's wide open for the children to commit fornication. But you know what? If you want to prevent fornication, you need to be in the home. You need to be around your children. You don't let your daughters just go off and go anywhere and everywhere, because you're basically just spelling a recipe of disaster for them. And this young woman is trying to make it seem like this is going to be the greatest days of their life. She's found her long-lost love. And isn't that every music song? I mean, every song is just, at last, you know. And we found each other forever, and I can't even breathe without you, and we're gonna live together forever. And that's how Hollywood tries to frame it. That's how the celebrities try to frame it. That's what they'll say to each other. But their marriages and their relationships burn like a Roman candle. I mean, they just burn out like this, and they're done with each other like this, because it was all fake. It wasn't even real. This woman's not going to be with him forever, but I guarantee that's what she's saying. I guarantee she's whispering in his ear things about how they're going to be together forever, and look, we're just going to be together. She says, I've diligently to seek thy face. I've found thee. Think about what the content, I found you. It's like, I've been searching for my soulmate for my entire life, and I finally found you. You're my soulmate. But it's just fake. It's not real. She's not sincere. No one's going to be there. Verse 21, with her much, notice this, fair speech. And what did I say? Fair speech is sus, because this lady's a dissembler, and what do dissemblers use? Dissemblers use fair speech, and it's suspect. When someone is just being so sweet and so kind and just saying all the right things, be afraid of that person. They're selling you a bill of goods. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And boy, I'll tell you what, some people just don't realize this. Fornication is so easy because you get around the wrong person, whether male or female, and they can force you with their words. And not so much in a you know, we're not talking about like a physical force. We're talking about they're going to get you into a frame of mind or into an environment where you just can't help yourself. Just like if you've been dieting for 5 days and then someone puts a buffet right in front of you and locks the door and says, what are you going to, I mean, you're going to eat. I mean, you're just, you can't put yourself in a bad situation and just expect that nothing bad will happen. If you put yourself in the wrong situation with the wrong person, you will, and you're very capable of being forced even. When Joseph is encountering Potiphar's wife, he has to literally run out of the building. He has to just, as soon as she puts hands on him, he's just running out of the building. Why? Because he knows if he lets it go a little too far, it could get to a point where it just, you know, you're forced at that point. That's why you just don't even go down that road. That's why the Bible even talks about whosoever toucheth her is not going to be innocent. I mean, you can't start going down this bad road with the opposite gender. I don't care if you're married, unmarried, any category. You just got to run from it. That's why the Bible says to flee fornication. Two people that have sworn to God they'll never commit fornication, but they go put themselves in the wrong environment, they'll probably commit fornication. Because it's a strong natural desire that it's like magnets. And, you know, magnets, you can keep them apart, but when you get them a little bit too close, it's like, you know, it just snaps together. And it's like, well, I was trying to keep those apart. But it's like you get them a little too close and just like, nah. And it's like, don't think that this is any different. Just like the pull of a magnet is how this sin is. And notice when she gets him alone with her fair speech, she can get to a point where she forced him. Verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter or as a fool to the correction of the stock. Meaning once she's got him to a certain point, it doesn't even matter that she's going to cut his head off. He's going to do it anyways. It's just like a dumb animal just walking to its own death. You know, animals, when you build the pen and everything like that for the slaughterhouse, once you get them into the door, you don't have to do anything. They'll just follow the little maze right to where they need to go. And then as soon as they get to the end of the maze, head off. But, you know, it's kind of hard to sometimes get them into that first gate. You know, and they have to get tools like a cattle prod or they have to wrangle them, and it's hard. But it's like as soon as you just get them into the funnel, they'll just go right through the funnel. Whatever maze and whatever thing you have designed. And it's like that's what it's saying. Hey, as soon as she got him right into the door, he just walked straight to his death. I mean, it was just like she's got him ensnared, and she can just take advantage of him. It says in verse 23, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Notice that this one woman, she didn't find her soulmate because she keeps killing him. She's like the Black Widow. I mean, this woman just, she takes advantage of the person and then is done. And you know, men are no different. Amnon was no different with his own sister. He wanted to be with his sister Tamar, and as soon as he was done, as soon as he got what he wanted, he hated her, wanted nothing to do with her, rejected her. And this is the culture that we're living in today, where men and women will promise you the moon and say you're the greatest and say they'll be with you forever, but as soon as they get what they want, they'll be done with you forever too. They'll want nothing to do with you. They'll be disgusted by you, and it's not love. It's just fake. It's just a fake love that we live in the society. And let me tell you something. Fair speech is sus. Do not let young women and young men trap you with their fair speech. And, you know, you should start a relationship with someone and it should be sincere and it should be real. If a woman or a man wants to take advantage of you at the very beginning of the relationship, it's not real, it's fake. Because a real relationship should take the time and it should escalate at the rate at which you're putting effort and energy into it, not just instantly. Because the relationships that are that instant often will end that quickly as well. And so you should find a young man or a young woman that you can become friends with and develop a normal relationship with and be willing to be spiritual for a while. And, you know, if you're dating someone, if you ever end up dating someone or being around someone and they're telling you things that you don't like to hear, that's actually probably a good sign. You know, you say, oh, man, she promises me the moon and says everything that I want to hear every time. Well, is that sincere, though? You know, that might not be, you know, some guys, it's like they're so afraid of a girl that they're dating that doesn't do everything they say every single time. Or they think like, oh, she doesn't seem that obedient. Well, maybe she's just real. Because the girl is just over the top and just everything's perfect and everything's always exactly what you want. Is she even being sincere with you? Sounds like she might be a little too fake. There might be something off. And I've known men that they dated and everything was great and everything was wonderful. And then as soon as they get married, it was like a switch. And I was like, man, on the dating phase, though, it was just everything was perfect. It's like a little too perfect, okay? And be afraid of the person that's a little too perfect. Everything's just always exactly what you want to hear. Because you know what? That might just not be a real person. That might be a dissembler. And you need to be afraid of the fair speech. Tons of people will give you this. Tons of people will tell you everything's great. Right. But you know what? That's not always legitimate. I mean, how about church? What if you go to church and the pastor just always tells you everything you want to hear? According to the Bible, this guy's a false prophet. You know, the false prophets love to speak fair, and they love to also do this. They love to lie to you. They just love to lie to you. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. So point one is this. Be aware of fair speech. Fair speech is sus. Now, it doesn't mean that someone that says something nice to you or says something good to you is just always a bad person or it's always fake, but you should just not just immediately accept fair speech. You should really think about it and say, does this fit? Does this make sense? Is this really coming from a place of sincerity before you accept it into your heart? You want to make sure. If someone says, you're my best friend, it's like, we just met yesterday. You're really close friends that'll never desert you and actually you can trust with, you know, secrets and things like that is not the guy you met last week. Okay, folks? You know, it's someone that you've actually gone through some hard times or you actually had tough conversations with. That's more of a genuine friend. A person that always just tells you everything you want to hear, not really the person that you want to form long life relationships with. You know, it's better to be around someone that'll tell you things you don't want to hear than someone that's just always saying really nice things about you. And, you know, when it comes to just people in general, obviously everyone's a liar, okay, to some degree. Everyone's lied before. Everyone's done something wrong. But there's also just some people that just seem to lie a lot, or it's more of a pattern. Or perhaps maybe when they lied, they weren't very repentant about that lie. They didn't actually feel that bad about it, or they didn't really fix the issue. And that's why you have to be careful. When you identify someone that is a liar, this is just a deceitful, lying type person, you should be suspect of every single thing they do. And what happens typically, because if someone's lying to you, you can't always know that, okay? You can't always know for sure when someone's lying to you. But what'll happen is these people will kind of let you in on the fact that they're lying to someone else. So you notice this person, well, they never tell me that they're lying to me, but I see them lying to other people. They're telling me that they're lying to other people. I notice that they constantly lie to other people. They lie to their parents, and I see it. They lie to their brother and sister. They lie to their boss at work. They lie to these other people. And they're even lying in front of me. You know, some people lie. Hey, children, the other children in this room that are lying to their parents, they're not the good children to hang out with. They're suspect. Because, you know, if they're going to lie to their mom and dad, they're going to lie to you. And if they're going to lie to other people, they're going to lie to you. You know, you could hang out with guys. You'll be with other guys, and guys will lie to their wife in front of you, won't they? Guys on the job, guys at work, guys whatever, they're going out, and their wife will call, and they'll pick up the phone, and they'll lie about where they're at. They'll lie about what they're doing. They'll lie, oh, the boss is making us work overtime tonight. And you're sitting here thinking like, no, he's not. You know what? That's a suspect person. That's a bad person. And you and I both know that these people exist. And the Bible warns, look at Proverbs 14, verse number 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. You know, the Bible says, hey, somebody that's a foolish person, you want to get away from this person. And let me say, what you know what's the foolish thing you can do is lie, being a liar. These liars and idiots and fools are people that you want to stay away from. Go to Psalms chapter number 19, Psalms 119. I'll show you some more verses on this, but we need to avoid liars in our life, and you don't want to trust a liar. When you notice that this person will constantly lie to other people, lie to their friends, lie to their family members, lie to their boss, lie, just lie, 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 and it seems like with no hesitation, they don't feel bad about it. They're not even, they're just doing it like nothing. You know, this is a bad person. This is a dissembler, and you should be highly, highly suspect of that individual because liars are sus. Psalm 119, look at verse 29. The Bible says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Look at 163, verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. You know what? It should just make you feel like just distaste and disgust with someone when you're just watching them lie. And it doesn't matter to who. It doesn't matter why. Like when you just hear lying, it should just cause just a visceral reaction in your body. It's just like, ugh, why are you lying? Like what's wrong with you? You know, we should be people that hate lying and we abhor it, and we don't want to be around it, and I don't want to participate in someone else's lie. I don't want to make cover up for someone else's lie. You know what? We should just hate lying. And there's a difference between getting facts wrong and being a liar, right? We all sometimes make mistakes when we talk, or we may exaggerate, or we may say things and remember them incorrectly. You know, if you remember childhood stories, the house was always 10 times bigger, and you know, you got a few extra home runs or something. I'm not necessarily talking about that person, but when you're just seeing people just telling lies and they know what they're saying is false, I mean, this is a bad person. This is just someone that you should be very suspect of. Go to 120, just right there, verse 2. Deliver my soul, Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Look, we should stay away from these people. And we want to get away from them and have nothing to do with them. Go through to 1 John chapter number 2. And there's a lot of liars out there. And when you identify this person as a liar, never trust anything else that they say. You should never trust. When you know someone's a liar, why would you trust anything that comes out of their mouth? They should not be trusted whatsoever. When these false, think about this. There are so many false prophets. There's so many pastors out there that have literally gotten up and said, Jesus Christ is coming this day. And then it didn't happen. You know how many times you should listen to that person ever again? Zero.
Right.
Zero. I mean, the Bible even tells you that when a prophet gets up and speaks presumptuously in the name of the Lord and the thing doesn't come to pass, he's a false prophet, and to not hearken unto them and to not care what they say. But yet, we have so many preachers today that get up and just actively lie, and then people go listen to themselves. Or you'll have people get up and say, oh, God told me Trump's going to win the next election. Well, what happened? Look, there's all kinds of guys online they'll say, God told me this, and God said this, and this is going to happen. And they're just a liar, liar, liar. And look, you know how many times you should tolerate it? Zero. If I make a video tomorrow saying Jesus Christ is coming back in 2 weeks and it doesn't happen, never come to my church again. But you know what? I'm not going to make that prediction, okay? I'll never make that stupid prediction because that's, first of all, no one knows the day or the hour. Number two, I'm not that kind of an idiot and I'm not that kind of a liar. But These people are just getting up and lying, and as soon as they start lying to you, you should realize, okay, I'm done with you forever. I'm done with this individual. I'm not willing to listen to this person. People that get up and preach doctrines that they don't even believe and they're just lying on purpose, get away from them. You know, some of these charismaniacs or these Pentecostal-type preachers, they'll do this thing where they have a special church service, and they'll just sit up on stage and they'll just be like, God's telling me that there's a person in this room and they're worried about something. I'm feeling like there's somebody that's worried about something. Actually, they're worried about their mom. I know someone's worried about this. There's someone on this section that's worried about their mom right now. And then like there's like this woman over there like and he's like, I feel like it's this lady in a red dress. Are you worried about your mom or something? And she'll get up and she'll be like, oh yeah, I was worried about my mom. He's like, God told me that. You know? And it's been found out that what some of them did is they had people come into the church service and they have the prayer request cards and they'll have people fill them out. Well, those pastors are going and getting those prayer request cards out and they'll be like, there's a woman in here that has this issue or whatever. And they're just reading the prayer card out saying that God spoke to them, just tricking and deceiving these people as if God's speaking to them or something. Who's been to a service where they've heard something like, okay, yeah. It's weird, all right? I've been to them. I always wondered, I was like, why do they never pick me? You know? I know now why that doesn't happen. But, you know, it's just a fake or a charade. It's like as soon as that guy gets caught, why would you ever go back to that church? Yet people still go to these churches, don't they? They get caught lying and doing all kinds of stuff. These people are sus. You shouldn't have anything to do with them when they get caught lying about that kind of stuff. And, you know, who's probably the worst of the liars? It's here in verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So the Bible has already identified for you some liars. You say, I don't know any liars. Yes, you do. Jews. Yeah. Jews are liars. Right. Okay. Jews are liars, and they've denied Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They're denying God. And look, I'm not talking about an ethnicity here. I'm talking about people that are of the synagogue of Satan, yeah, that are in the religion of Judaism. Anyone in the religion of Judaism is a liar. And you should never trust any word that comes out of their mouth. Yes. None of them. Right. I don't care if their name's Ben Shapiro. I don't care if their name's Jeffrey Epstein. I don't care if their name's Seth Dillon. Oh, the founder of Babylon Bee. A Jew. Isn't it so interesting that these conservative outlets that always survive online seem to have a Jew at their helm? It's like, how come they keep working? You know, I've even heard this, and someone should fact check this for me because I can't figure it out. But how about Mark Dice? Did you know Dice is not his real last name? I don't know if that's a shock to you. His name's Shoal Dice. Someone told me he's a Jew. I don't know if that's true or not. Someone fact check that for me. But I always wonder, like, how is this guy surviving on YouTube? You know, it's interesting. All the people that came to keep surviving in conservative media today are Jews. And let me tell you something. You know why? Because they lie, and the only thing allowed online anymore is lies, it seems like. And I'll tell you, you need to be suspect of the liars out there. The media today is mostly, if not all, controlled by Jews today, and they're all a bunch of liars. The news media hates you, and the news media wants to use you, and the news media wants to lie to you. How many times has the news media already been caught lying about virtually everything? It's like, then why would you ever believe any news story ever again? Look, we know from personal experience how the news media will lie about our church, won't they? And they'll lie about you and they'll lie about me. Then why would you ever believe any report about any other person ever again? In fact, I usually have the exact opposite opinion of whatever the news story is. Whenever they tell me someone's bad, I'm usually thinking that guy's a pretty good guy. Anytime they're telling me someone's a good guy, I'm thinking, like, that guy must be horrible. Like George Floyd. What a scumbag George Floyd is. Or Martin Luther King Jr. What a scumbag he is. or Joe Biden, what a scumbag he is. I mean, it's just everybody that's praised is a bunch of scumbag liars. And all the people that they demonize seem to be pretty good. Now, I'm not saying that's always the case, okay? Someone's going to be like, well, they don't like Hitler. Okay, well, Hitler was bad too, all right? I get that, all right? But you know what? He probably wasn't as bad as they make him out to be. He probably wasn't as bad as some of you guys are, some of you lying Jews that are out there. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. You know who's another bunch of lying scumbags? Mormons. Talk about people that love to speak fair. Oh, good day. How are you? Have you heard of the gospel of Heavenly Father? It's like, dude, that guy's a liar. You don't believe that you believe there's multiple gods. No, I don't. Where'd you hear about that? And then it's like, you show them quotes where they believe, and it's like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, we do. Dude, the Mormons hate your guts inside, but they just smile and act all friendly like a used car salesman. And that's what they're worse than used car salesmen. I'd rather hang out with used car salesmen than Mormons. Talk about fake. Talk about disgusting people. And they even just look weird. Sorry. Sin just makes you ugly or something. Because, man, when you get around you look at the Mormons, not the ones they have on the pamphlet, like real ones, you're like, something off about you. Like, how related are you guys? I'm thinking there's a lot of inbreeding here. Something's off about you guys. They're all, I mean, have you ever seen like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir? It looks kind of good because it's just like all these people dress nice, but then they start zooming in, you're like, oh, like, what is that? What's going on with these people? Look, they're just ugly people. Sorry. But you know what? They're ugly inside. That's what makes them really bad. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 5. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. You know what? We should hate lying. We should hate people that want to lie to others. We should hate those that are preaching the false doctrine of Mormonism. Yeah. And preaching the false doctrine of Judaism. And preaching the false doctrine of the Jehovah's false witness.
That's right. Yeah.
And preaching all these different... You know, people get mad at us thinking like, oh, you're calling out false prophets. Yes, I am, because I hate lying.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. They're all sus. They're all suspect. You should never trust any of them. Have nothing to do with them. I will never trust a Mormon or a Jew or a Catholic or any of these people because guess what? They're liars. They are liars. Now, obviously, there's a lot of people that call themselves Catholic, but they don't even go to church. You know, they're not usually that bad. But the Catholic priest, oh, man, that is a scumbag. You don't want to have anything to do with these individuals. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Now, this last one should be kind of more evident just because of kind of where we're going. But we've noticed from the dissembler passage, it talked about people with fair speech. It talked about liars. And it just really just talks about haters in general. But let me tell you something. Haters are suspect. Haters are sus. Look at Proverbs 29, verse 10. The Bible says, the bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. There are people out there that just hate good people, and we know who they are. They should never be trusted. And, you know, in this room, I think a lot of us get this, but, you know, the world doesn't get this point. They think that there's some people in the LGBTQ crowd that can be trusted. It's like, look, let's not label them all as bad. You know, there's some bad eggs in there. There's some extremists in that group. But most of them are normal and most normal. What? Most of them are kind. Kind to who? I mean, it's just bizarro how our world tries to separate and say, well, some of them are nice and normal and cool, and the other ones are just really bad and extreme. We wouldn't want to just find one bad white person and then say all white people are bad. Sure, we wouldn't want to do that. But you know what I've noticed? Every single faggot is terrible. You know, 100% of them make the other 100% look bad. There is no exception to these individuals. They're haters. And you know what? They hate righteousness.
Yeah.
Why is it that I notice that every single one of them hates the Bible? And every single one of them hates the gospel? And every single one of them hates Jesus Christ? Look, they should never be trusted, never allowed to be around children. frankly speaking, according to the Bible, they shouldn't even be allowed to be a part of society. Leviticus 20:13 have already settled that issue for us. But, of course, we have to live around the bloodthirsty. You know who's some other bloodthirsty people? Abortion doctors. They should never, ever, you should never trust an abortion doctor. I don't care what medical advice they give you. Or just, how about just big pharma in general? I mean, talk about some fair speech that are a bunch of liars that really just hate you. You know, and I'll be honest, I'm not against medicine. I'm not against health. But there is a lot of lying, hating, scumbag people in the medical industry. And you should not be trusting them. Now, again, you know, if my arm gets cut off, I'm going to the ER. Like, I will go straight to the hospital, okay? If I'm in severe danger, if I'm about to die, I'm going to go to the hospital. Right? If I'm sick and coughing up blood, I guarantee you I'm going to go to the hospital. But you know what? If it's not life-threatening, I really weigh whether or not I should go. I'm just being honest with you. And you know, whatever advice they offer me, whatever kind of drugs or surgery they offer me, I kind of think like, do I need this to survive? Because often these people are suspects. These people are liars. These people are just taking advantage of people. And they're just part of a big system that's there to kill you and to just rip you off and take advantage of you. And look, I'm not against you if you work in this industry. I'm just telling you, it's mostly just bad people. And it shouldn't be the Hippocratic Oath. It should be the hypocrite oath, apparently. I mean, because there's so many doctors out there that will just give bad advice. Pediatricians are probably some of the worst, in my opinion. I mean, they're just injecting children with literal poisons and toxins based on no scientific evidence, based on poor research that's out there, and the real research is constantly repressed and suppressed, and they even know it's out there because they have parents constantly calling them and saying, hey, he was fine, and now he has autism. Oh, well, it wasn't the vaccine. That's just how they'll start the conversation. Well, I know it wasn't that. It could be anything else. It's probably the Bible. You know, it's like, no, it wasn't. Liar. It's like, we didn't have autism in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and then all of a sudden it's just like explosion in the 90s and in 2000s when we start giving little babies like 32 vaccinations before the age of two. It's just, it's insane. And there's like, well, there's no connection. Or they'll lie and they'll say, the government has never paid money for this. Lie, because it has happened. You can look it up on Veyers, you can look it up online. The government has literally paid parents for their children being injured by vaccinations and specifically links to autism. It has literally happened. Now, has it happened every time? No, because the government would go bankrupt if they paid out every single case, if they allowed. And in fact, even to get the government to pay out, you almost have to get it reported within the first 24 hours. The doctor that gave and administered the drug would have to be willing to fill out the Veyers report, which is usually never the case. And then beyond that, then you have to go through court and all kinds of filings and proceedings to even get to that point for you to even have a case heard. Then you have to have a judge out there that will be willing to side with you over Big Pharma. And even over all those obstacles, it still happened before. Why? Because these people are liars. These people are haters. They hate people. They despise people. These are the same people that say they're eugenicists. I mean, Bill Gates is literally saying we need to eliminate the human population, saying we need to bring this further down. And he's like the biggest sponsor of vaccination? It's like you should already be like, whoa, this is some bad red flags here. This sermon probably won't last on YouTube. Just saying. Proverbs 26, look at verse number 4. I think I have that verse wrong. Oh, no, Psalms. Go to Psalms. I'm sorry. I was looking at it wrong. I was thinking, like, that has nothing to do with my sermon. Sometimes I just wing it, but I wasn't going to do that. Psalm 26, look at verse 4. Psalm 26, verse 4. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Oh, I can't believe you hate anybody, Pastor Shelley. Well, what does the Bible say? I mean, the Bible is saying that I will not go in with dissemblers. You know, I will not go into a church where I have to sit next to some tranny faggot that's pretending like he cares about God. I will not do it. And I will not subject my children to it. And you know what? Would to God Christians would finally wake up and reject these people. You know, I had someone tell me today, they were like questioning their pastor whether or not he would allow trannies to come into the church. And the pastor was kind of like, oh, you know. It's like, if that's not an automatic get it the hell out of here, then you're in the wrong church. Because if they're already squeamish, whenever the pressure comes of that actual individual, they're usually too coward to say anything about it. Well, you want this person to be saved, don't you? No, he's a dissembler. No, he's a liar. No, he's a hater. He's not sincere. I mean, what kind of people are you inviting? Yeah, Goliath, come in here. Yeah. Pharaoh. Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't want Pharaoh to get saved? The devil? Of course. You know, I mean, at what point are you going to say there's tares amongst the wheat? At what point are you willing to recognize, hey, this person's not here sincerely. This person's making a mockery of church. This person's making a mockery of the grace of God and of his long-suffering nature. You know, we have so many churches out there today that are tolerating the haters, the liars, and the fair speech. And, you know, we need to recognize that they're suspect. Go with you to 2 Samuel chapter 13. I want to show you one more example of this. But, you know, one of the worst abusers of this is just Democrats. The Democrats are haters. And let me tell you who Democrats hate more than almost anybody is black people. Democrats hate black people, yet they constantly tell everyone how much they love black people. And they are the biggest liars. They are the biggest scumbags about it. I mean, they historically are the ones behind Ku Klux Klan. They're the ones historically behind the Planned Parenthood, which is really just genocide against black people. But then they try to pretend like, oh, well, let's give them reparations. Liar. You wouldn't even give them a cent out of your own pocketbook. But you'll give it out of what? The taxpayer-funded money. But, you know, they won't even do that. They're just lying about it. They're dangling it in front of black people like, hey, we'll give you money. Knowing it'll never pass, and then they'll just use it to demonize the Republican Party. They're never going to actually do it. They just want it to be a talking point like, you guys don't care about black people. And it's like, you don't, you liar, you scumbag. Yeah. They're destroying all kinds of communities and inner city areas. And I was reading the place where George Floyd notoriously was killed or whatever, where George Floyd took drugs and overdosed and killed himself, and a cop just happened to be near the body when it happened, named Derek Chauvin. That specific area is mostly black-owned businesses. I don't know if that shocks you, okay? And they said they're all going to have to close all their stores because cops refuse to come in the area and there's so much looting and rioting and just crime that they can't even open their businesses. And you know what? You hate all of those owners. You hate all of those shops. You hate all those customers. You hate all those businesses by glorifying criminals and pretending like you care about these individuals when they don't. And look, let me tell you something. I'm not advocating for Republicans here. Well, I'll tell you, Democrats are really bad on this point. They really, really hate black people, especially people like Joe Biden, who get up and say that President Obama was the first articulate black man to ever live. Okay? That is racist. Okay? The only when the Democrats say that passing voter ID laws is racist, they're the racist. They say that black people can't even get a driver's license. I mean, that's really offensive to say that they're so stupid. I saw a really funny video. It's like this black guy, he's like acting like an ape trying to open a computer. He's like, he's like, this is what Democrats think of black people. They don't even know what a computer is. It's like, you know. It's like that's how the Democrats are treating black people. And then they act like if you don't treat them like this, you're racist. No, you're the real racist, buddy. You're the real person that hates black people. And look, they're not trying to educate black people. They're not trying to tell them why their lives are being ruined because they won't have a family and because they don't have Christianity and because they're not saved and because they don't have fathers in the home. That's the problem. You say, how do you know that's a problem? Okay, well, go with me to the Bahamas. Because you know what you'll find in the Bahamas? Only black people. And let me tell you something. I didn't even feel danger at all. And then let's go to inner city Houston and Chicago. And you also find only black people. And you will not feel safe for 1 second. You want to know why? Because there's a culture issue. There's a giant culture issue. And people want to be, there's a lot of racists out there, okay? Even amongst Americans, you know, like Peter Ruckman. Peter Ruckman was one of the most racist people that ever lived. In fact, he said the only reason he didn't want to join the KKK is because they didn't like Jews. I was thinking that was kind of a legit point on their side, you know? I'm like, he's saying, man, Peter Ruckman said that it didn't matter how much integration you did in America, every single black person's IQ was lower than every single white person's. That is what Peter Ruckman said, preaching. And he said this, all black people are racist. Well, you sound pretty racist too, buddy. And look, that's not true. Look, it's crazy how racist the Democrats can be openly about it, and people will still fall for it. People will still, look, if you're a young black man, don't ever go to Peter Ruckman's church. When he gets up and says comments like that, never trust anything that he said. Just like the Mormons. The Mormons literally taught that if you have black skin, you are somehow more sinful than other people just by having black skin. You know you should not trust? The Mormon church. You know you should also not trust by that token is the Southern Baptist Convention. Because the Southern Baptist Convention formed based on racism. Formed based on the fact that they should be able to support missionaries who own slaves, black slaves. That's a great position to triumph, isn't it? And it took them about 100 years to apologize. You know what? That's a little too late there. Oh, well, you know, I think the Democrats have changed their ways. The Democrats have never changed their ways. And they never will. They hate all black people. And when you know someone hates you, when they've already openly said it and they've demonstrated it, have nothing to do with them. I don't care if you never vote again. I don't care if you never vote Republican, but you should never vote Democrat, ever. And I'm sure a lot of us do because the machine does it for us, but you should never purposely vote Democrat, okay? All right? So I'm not mad at you if you accidentally voted for them through the machine. That's just how it works. But look at a person that clearly hates, and let's see what happens. 2 Samuel chapter 13, I'm looking at verse 22. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Now here's the thing. When you're Amnon, you know what you should realize? Absalom hates me because I forced his sister. And you know, in the Bible, it's not a concealed thing. Where does Tamar live? She lives with her brother. So you don't think that Amnon could be smart enough to realize, hey, I don't think Absalom probably likes me. I'm pretty sure he figured out what happened. I'm pretty sure he knows why I'm such a scumbag. You know, the dumbest thing in the world would be for Amnon to think, hey, Absalom might actually still like me. That's a dumb idea. This is just like, hey, the Democrats waving a flag like we hate black people, and then later tell, oh, no, we love you. Hey, if you don't vote Democrat, you're not even black. You know. Well, look what it says. Let's keep reading. It says in verse number 26, and this is talking from Absalom to David. Then said Absalom, if not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us. And the king said unto him, why should he go with thee? Even David's like, why in the world would you want to hang out with Amnon? But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. So Absalom's a very good dissembler. Absalom's a great dissembler because he hated Amnon so much, but he's able and capable of convincing his own dad, David, that he somehow likes him. That's weird. Oh no, I love Amnon. He's such a great guy. Liar. Just like the devil. Says in verse number 28, now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him, Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. You know what? Absalom wants to kill Amnon. It's super obvious. It's super clear. Everybody should know it. But Amnon just falls right into that trap. And notice how Absalom's going to get him. He's going to make him merry with wine. He's going to give him a gift. He's going to hold out a little trinket. Like, oh, we'll take care of you. We'll make you happy. And as soon as he's comfortable, as soon as he's safe, as soon as he feels like he's having a good time, he's just going to catch him unawares and he's just going to kill him. And that's exactly what happens. And you know what? I don't want you to be the same way, where you recognize the Jew that hates you, you recognize the Mormon that hates you, you recognize the Democrat that hates you, and you go over to his house and you drink his wine just having a good old time. Because pretty soon they're going to pull out the knife and stab you in the back. Pretty soon they're going to chop off your head. And you know what? America has gotten drunk off the wine of Jews today, and they're just ready to slay our heads. They're ready to kill us. Because America has fallen victim to dissemblers. And let me tell you something. They're sus. Dissemblers hate Jesus Christ. I mean, the Jews hate Jesus Christ. They lie about Jesus Christ. And yet they have all this fair speech. Oh, we're Judeo-Christian. I remember Ben Shapiro. I saw a video of him. And there was that weird Asbury revival going on. Who knows what I'm talking about, the Asbury revival. It's like this weird Pentecostal thing or something at some university where all these students are having a worship service continually. It went for weeks. I don't know exactly the whole timeline, but for a long period of time. And I saw Ben Shapiro. He decided to make comments about it. He's like, I just think this is wonderful. Really? The Christ-rejecting, God-hating Jew thinks it's wonderful that people are celebrating Christ somehow, right? How does that even make sense? How does that even fit your own narrative? I mean, you think that this guy is a blasphemer that should be crucified again, yet you think it's wonderful that people are worshiping him. No, you're a lying scumbag, and you want fake Christians to still give you money. Yeah. Right. So that you can just keep sucking out all the wealth of America while we get just flushed down the toilet, the Jew toilet, and pretty soon they just kill all of us. Because that's their goal, folks. Their goal is to just take all the wealth of our country and then just kill us when they're done with it. And they're not going to stop. The only thing that's going to stop them is God. But if Christians would just finally wake up and say, what are you doing in my nation? You hate me. Why would I give you my money? Why would I give you my time? Why would I care anything that you have to say? You're a liar. You know, no one should ever subscribe to the Daily Wire. Everyone should unsubscribe from the Daily Wire. Everyone should unsub from all these Jews and quit giving them money, quit giving them time, quit believing their lies. I mean, the Bible says when he speaketh fair, believe him not. There are seven abominations in his heart. We need to quit believing all these liars and all these scumbags and all these haters and all these people that can't constantly tell you all these nice things. You know, that's one thing you probably won't ever get, you hear me being accused of, is just only telling you really nice things. But you know what? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Right. Let us be suspect of those kisses. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us the Word of God so that we could beware of the evil that's out there, of the women and of the men that want to take advantage of godly Christian people. I pray that we would be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I pray that we wouldn't fall victim to the lies and deception of the dissemblers that are out there, but rather, we would protect ourselves and guard ourselves with the Word of God, with your statutes. And I pray that you would help waken up a lot of people in this country. You'd help bring revival of knowledge and information. That you'd help expose all the dissemblers and the haters and the liars in this country. And that Christians would finally trust the Word of God again. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Song number 206.
There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus
Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love he brings into a heart that's sad. Through darkest tunnels the soul just sings, oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. We have a fellowship rich and sweet, tongues can never relay. Abiding in him, the soul's retreat. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Won't you come to him with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
All right, great job, everybody. You are all dismissed.